I bet some of you never thought that you would hear drums in church at Prince of Peace this morning, did you? Well, there's lots of surprises always in store when it comes to truly sacred music. Good morning. I still remember the day when I told my dad that I was becoming a Catholic. Now, he was not very happy about this news for all kinds of reasons. First of all, being that he is a fundamentalist Baptist, so that really kind of came as rather a shock. But also that I was dividing the family. My mom had stopped going to any church several years before, so it was just me and my dad going to church together. And then all of a sudden, he was going to his Baptist church, and I was going to the Catholic church. All of a sudden, 500 years of the Reformation had come to roost on 7 Paddy Drive. And of course, because I was raised as a good Baptist boy, I quoted scripture to my father, "Thou shalt obey God rather than men." He didn't backhand me, don't worry. So, this week, Christians all over the world have been praying together the week of prayer for Christian unity. And all of us have been reminded that as much as the Lord Jesus came to preach one faith and one baptism, those of us who claim to be his followers are still terribly divided. In the prayer of our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, that all may be one, seems far away from being realized. Now, don't get me wrong. You know how I am about, doctrinal precision, okay? I'm a Catholic. And as such, I know that I belong to the church founded by Christ, and that the Catholic Church alone possesses the fullness of truth. But that's only in her teaching on faith and morals. Outside that safe haven, for which me and lots of other converts who have been welcomed into the Catholic Church are very grateful, Catholics are divided amongst themselves as much as Christians outside the church are divided amongst themselves, and amongst men and women, even of goodwill, are divided amongst themselves, even if they do not share our Christian faith. Think about every Sunday we come to church and we profess the creed and we say that we believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. But doesn't it seem sometimes that this one church appears like a dream, a desire, a goal for the future, and not something real and flesh and blood that I can see and touch and hear right now, right in front of my face? Now, everyone who came to church this morning came because they wanted a message of hope. Okay? They didn't come to church saying, "I want Father to depress the heck out of me this morning," right? None of you came for that. If you did, then we have to have a chat, okay? But I do want to admit that, all around me, what I experience and what I see in so many ways is division. I mean, within the church, cardinals and bishops right now are at each other's throats over whether adulterers can receive communion or not. Within our country, everybody is always angry. Angry about the economy, angry about politics, angry about the state of the nation, angry about jobs. I see families where children don't talk to their parents, where fathers have abandoned and neglected their kids, where spouses are giving up on each other because they can't seem to make it work. I see friends who have been ripped apart because of misunderstanding, brothers turned against each other because of backbiting and gossip, comrades who harbor enmity and suspicion against each other at every turn. I'm not going to lie to you, my heart has been very heavy this week as I ponder these things in the light of the readings. I felt the need to lift all of these intentions to God in prayer. But I'm consoled by the fact that I know that I'm not alone. How many of you I see in this church, in the Adoration Chapel, in quiet prayer before the source of all unity, pouring your hearts out to the only one who can bring about healing and reconciliation and comfort. You know, it is a great consolation to think that we are all in this together. I'm glad that so many of us find an oasis of peace in this holy place. I'm overjoyed that we can help bear each other's burdens as brothers and sisters in Christ, and that the church can be a place where the many become one, even if just when we gather around the Eucharistic table. So what can we do to recover this unity? Nobody likes being divided. Nobody likes being angry. But for some reason, we can't seem to figure out, okay, how do we overcome this? How does this stop? How can we recover this oneness with God and with each other, which was one of the original gifts that God gave us that we left behind when we were expelled from Eden at the dawn of human history because of our own disobedience to God? Is there anything at all that we can do? Is there anything more that we can be? Or do we have to just go through life thinking, well, that's what life is, and then it's over. The man with the most toys wins, maybe. Who knows? Who cares? Really? There is a powerful message of hope. Because living the good news of Jesus Christ is the way to unity and fulfillment and happiness. Think about how Paul writes to the Corinthians in the first century of the Common Era, and he might as well be writing to all of us here today. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree in what you say and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same purpose. Paul reminds us that divisions have a source. There's a place that they come from. And they come not because we don't know how to communicate or even how to listen. They come not because we're not of goodwill and want what's best and are trying all to do our best. Division comes as a result of sin. There are rivalries among you. I mean that each of you is saying, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with the wisdom of human eloquence, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its meaning. You know, whenever we set ourselves up against each other, and we define ourselves by any human standard, it doesn't matter how good or noble or understandable that standard is, we risk dissolution and disintegration. We want to define ourselves by what we are not, by who we do not want to be, by why we do not do such and such. And so before we even realize it, pride and jealousy enter our hearts. And before we realize that, we've given ourselves over to rivalries. Now, my friends, you know, I'm not talking this morning about whether you're a fan of Clemson or Ohio State here, okay? Remember that little-known dogmatic fact that as far as the Blessed Virgin is concerned, her blood runneth orange, right? This doesn't matter whether you really like wine or beer with dinner, okay? I'm talking about when we think so much of ourselves, that we forget that we are called into this world for no other purpose than to love God and our neighbor. And you know, unity is not a matter of constantly barking at people, why can't we all just get along? Okay? Did you ever say that to your kids when they were fighting? Why can't you people just get along? Did it work? I don't know, maybe it did, I don't know, but I don't have children. Well, I have you guys, but not those kind of children. Okay. Unity does not mean compromising on essential truths of divine revelation, nor does it mean denying our own legitimate needs and accepting abusive behavior from people. Unity is not some kind of abstract concept that we aspire to. God is unity. And the only way the many moving parts of our lives are ever going to have unity and communion is by subjecting them all to God. And to do that, we must convert. Remember the first word of the gospel, the good news, is repent. Not I'm okay, you're okay. It is repent. We must convert. We must choose at every moment to turn away from sin, from what divides and conquers, from what dissolves and disintegrates, so that we can turn towards grace, from what unites and blesses, from what coheres and integrates. And to do that, we must accept the cross of Christ. We must die to self. We must mortify ourselves against the temptations to prefer ourselves to others. We must embrace the cross of suffering if we are to be constructors of unity and peace. My friends, don't wait for the perfect politician or the pious priest to lead you by example into unity. Each one of us, each in his or her own way, ushers in the kingdom of God's peace and love. We unite what is divided and find what is lost when we make the meaning of the cross ours. As Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any incentive of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy of being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for God is at work in you, both to will and work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain, even if I am to be poured out as a libation upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me.